This month, we started talking about forgiveness and what it meant for Jesus. And Jesus had many lessons on forgiveness as he was walking this earth and teaching his people. Many lessons about how, even through our prayers, we should, as Christians, forgive as he has forgiven us. And this is the moment where it all comes together. Like we heard in that reading, it actually all started on Thursday when Jesus had to wake up and he knew what was coming. He knew that the people that he chose, that he trusted, that he put his faith in, will fail him. He knew that all of the disciples would be with him throughout that day. And as he was preparing for the Last Supper to have with them, he knew that one of his disciples, Judas, was going to betray him that evening. He knew that Peter, that same evening, when he was being pulled over by the soldiers, was going to say, "I do not know this man." And yet, he knew all of these things would come, yet he let go and he didn't say a word. He didn't make a comment. He didn't make a remark. He didn't speak. He just let it all unfold. Because he knew what was coming was greater than what was happening at the moment. He knew his mission. He knew that this mission had to be fulfilled, a purpose why he came to this earth. And it all happened on this Good Friday. And I believe that that Thursday, as he was trying to rest, he probably didn't get enough sleep, didn't get enough rest. He probably didn't sleep at all because he was just betrayed, hurt, and he was waking up on a Friday knowing what he was about to face. And we know very well from the very morning of the Friday, Good Friday, up until the moment that he was crucified, which was about 9 a.m., there was pain and suffering and anguish in his soul. Yet he taught us so well in the Sermon on the Mount just a few years before that, that we should love our enemies. We should forgive our enemies. We should bless those that persecute us. And sometimes in our life, it's really hard to live that out. It's really hard to have people in our life that we trust the most, that we love the most, friends, family, acquaintances, or whoever it is that we share our life with, that we rub our shoulders with, that hurt us. And it's hard for us to grasp the words of Jesus. But he had an opportunity to live it out. And he had an opportunity to show us what it's like to actually live it out. And that's part of the title of my message this morning, which is laid down at the cross. He decided to lay down at the cross. And I don't know if you've ever experienced hurt, disappointment, pain by someone that you might have trusted. And you woke up in the morning and you knew what was coming. And you knew that it wasn't going to be an easy day. And this day for Jesus, we know, was not just like any other day. It was the worst day of his career. He has walked this earth and he was mocked and he was made fun of and he was almost pushed over a cliff by the people. Pharisees were going around and just trying to trip him up and asking all kinds of questions, just trying to derail him from his mission. But this was the worst possible moment that he was yet to face. And I don't know about you, but you might have had some bad moments in your life. You might have gone through some terrible things. But what Jesus' sacrifice and what his story teaches us here, he invites us to lay down our pain, our shame, our offenses at his feet and trust his justice and grace. And like we heard, Jesus modeled that perfect forgiveness on that cross. And at his worst moment, he forgave. And because he did it, I believe that we also, by the power of the Holy Spirit that he has left us with, we can do the same. I'm going to read a scripture from Luke 23, verses 33 to 46. It talks about this whole event leading up to the cross and what happened. And this is what he says. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right hand and on the other on the left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and they cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. "This is the king of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "As surely as I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, the veil of the temple was torn in two, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Wow. The last final moments of that Good Friday of Jesus' life, so long ago. But what this story really represents, it gives us a blueprint. It gives us a blueprint of how we are to live, even in the worst moments of our days. Jesus was surrounded with people that liked him. He was also surrounded with people that did not like him. And I'm sure in our own life that we live on this earth, we have people that like us, we have people that don't like us. And the question came up to my mind as I was hearing this: how well do we as humans really know people that we live with, people that we rub the shoulders with? How well do you really know your loved one that you're sitting beside right now? How well do we really know each other? And I've come to realize that we really don't know each other maybe as well as we think. Some of the darkest thoughts, some of the darkest secrets we may not reveal to our loved ones, but God does know them, and God still loves us. God knows, really knows us, and yet he still really loves us just as we are. And then I realized that a lot of things that we experience in this life, a lot of pain and suffering that we go through, is because of people that we love the most in our life. We'll go through this life and we'll come across a loving couple. And I've often thought about this. How is it possible that a loving couple, so in love, stands in front of each other and God and everybody else, and they declare the love for each other, and just 1 year later, they can't seem to talk to each other anymore? They can't seem to forgive each other. They can't seem to get past the hurt or pain. How well did they really know each other when they were expressing love to each other? Or how is it possible that a young child is being born into this world and a loving parent loves this child so much and nurtures this child so much and they share this love and they feel like this is the moment that will never pass away. And all of a sudden, 16 years later, this same child does not want to do anything with her parent or his parent anymore. How is it possible that all of a sudden people fall out of love and people experience pain? And people come to a point where they get hurt and they have a grudge and they have a hard time moving on and they have a hard time letting go. What forgiveness is in our life and what it should represent is it's about learning to let go and allowing God to take control. God really knows us deep down and He still loves us. And in Romans 5:8, He did say, but God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still in our sin, in our shame, He loved us. Jesus was mission focused and vision focused, and He did not let anything throw Him off that mission. He never took upon Himself an offense that Judas or Peter, or whoever else was involved in this process of getting Him to the cross. He never allowed offense take place in His heart. He did not let that bitterness foster and grow towards those that hated Him. He never let things influence Him in this way, even for the people that have killed Him. He came to the point of the cross, and He showed us one thing, and that thing is that He came to carry it for us. And what it represents is our sin, our shame, our cross. What Jesus came to do, He was like the prophecies highlighted it in many prophecies before He came onto the scene. He was a man of sorrows. He was pierced for our transgression. He came, in Matthew, it was mentioned when Mary was about to give birth, that He came to save people from their sin. And the cross really represented just that. It represented the sin and the shame. If you knew anything about Romans and the empire that everybody was under at that time, this cross was the symbol of the greatest shame that you could ever experience in a society. Today is our symbol of fate. But it was the worst shame that you can, if you saw a man on that cross, you would assume that he was the worst scum of the earth. That he was the worst criminal, that he was the worst robber, that he must have done something really filthy and really evil to be standing on that cross. But Jesus took that cross and that shame, and he turned it into glory and power. And Apostle Paul mentions that in 1 Corinthians 1:8. He says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who perish, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. He took the place of shame and sin, and He made it into something beautiful. And what it represents for us today, as we wear it around our neck, and as we talk about it, and as we focus on it, when we come to church, it represents freedom and the power of why Jesus came in the first place. And that was to carry the shame, sin, and suffering for us so that we do not have to carry the sin, the suffering, the shame, and the unforgiveness. We don't have to carry the weight of betrayal. It's heavy. We don't have to carry the weight of abuse that was done to us. It's heavy. We don't have to carry the weight of shame because what we have done or what somebody else has done to us, it's heavy. He invites us to come to Him with our heavy burdens. And in Matthew 18, He said, "Come to Me if you are heavy and I will give you rest." we have an opportunity to lay down at the cross. We have an opportunity to look to Jesus and look at what he has done for the ungodly, for the unjust, for the shameful, for the sinners. We have an opportunity to make a decision and to allow Christ to carry the weight for us. When we think of the cross, when we reflect on the cross, we have an opportunity to choose Christ's yoke. And I've heard a story of a therapist that had two men come to them, to him, and they came from a very abusive home where father was an alcoholic, he was an abuser. And you look at one of the guys, one of the sons was successful and had it all together, and he was being a loving father, had a loving family, he was a loving husband, and he just was living a good life, good faith-filled life. He was a Christian. But the other one, on the other hand, there was one other son who also came from the same household but was an alcoholic and was homeless. And as I was talking to this counselor, this is a real true story right here in our town of Kitchener, where they asked this young, she asked the son that was homeless and alcoholic, why are you choosing to live like this? Look at your brother. And he just stood there and he was confused and dumbfounded, and he thought to himself, well, like, I don't know any better. This is all I know. This is all I have. This is how my dad was like. So therefore, that's how I live. Yet his brother made a decision that he will never end up like his dad. He made a decision that he does not have to carry that weight of his past, that burden that his dad dealt with. And he decided in his mind, in his heart, with faith in Christ, that he is going to live this life, he's going to make better choices. And just like those two sons, we have the power to choose the right way, which is to allow Christ to carry the burden and shame and sin for us. The cross stands high above the opinions of men and declares, you are not guilty. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what your father or your mother says, or your brother or your sister or your cousin. You are not guilty, because Jesus took that guilt upon himself. See, also Christ, what he did, he forgave at his worst moment. And I don't know if you've ever experienced in your life where you could look back and you could say, this was the lowest of the lows that I could ever arrive at in my life. The worst moment in your life. And oftentimes in the worst moments of our life, we don't tend to make good decisions. If you're anything like me, you probably didn't make any good decision when you were at your worst moment. But imagine Jesus. Imagine Jesus hanging on that cross, which was above on the hill, and looking down on the soldiers that were gambling for his clothes, on the people that were spitting and they were making fun of him, on the people in the crowd that just didn't care and were laughing. Imagine Jesus' view from the cross. Yet, as he looked upon all of this that was happening in front of him, he chose mercy. And he didn't let bitterness take over in his heart and offense. And I don't know what you're going through in your life, but your view may be very similar. As you're looking across your life and you look at people that you're surrounded with, and you might even see many injustices, many things done to you that are not fair, and they're not supposed to be happening, and there's things that are being said about you by this person, and that is not fair. But just like Christ at his worst moment chose to offer mercy, so can you. He was innocent, yet he offered forgiveness in agony. And it was by his wounds in Isaiah 53 that we heard that we were healed. And we receive healing as we look up to Him to have true forgiveness take place in our heart. You see, true forgiveness costs us something. In this case, it cost Jesus everything. And He forgave at the moment of great injustice. By this moment, as we choose to focus on the cross and reflect, we can say, God, give me strength. In this moment of great injustice and the worst moment of my life, give me strength to be able to look past the offense and the hurt and the bitterness. And I'm here to propose to you, as someone who's lived 39 years of his life, that people that you have in your life right now, that you're surrounded with, and there may be people that you've kind of fallen off, you're not really have as good of a relationship as you would like to, but I'm here to propose to you that people that you have in your life that are hurting you don't really truly know what they're doing. They don't really know that what is happening and what they're doing to you, although you think they're really doing it on purpose, they don't really know what they're doing. Because if they really knew, and I believe truly, if these people really knew who Jesus was, they would have never laid their hands on Him. And Jesus in that moment decides, in this great moment of injustice, which I believe we can all decide in all of our moments of injustice, to look past the person, look past the laughter and the injustice, and just say, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. He did that to you, but He did not really know what He was doing. She hurt you so much, she had no idea. She was maybe too much in her own pain that she just didn't know. He was in too much of his stuff that he just didn't know. But he hurt you, and he was painful. And it was very hurtful. But you can come to a point in your life where you say, you know what? I can decide from now on that if people do hurt me, which they will, I can decide to give it to Jesus, and I can decide and say, God, I can let go because you were the one who let go of the offenses. You were the most perfect one, the sinless one, the righteous one, never sinned. You did not deserve this, yet you still look past the hurt, the pain, the suffering, and you said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. In our own life, we can do the same. We can choose forgiveness. And I believe that. That's why I said last time when we spoke on forgiveness, that forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. You may never really have a feeling of forgiveness in your heart, but it is the decision that you make. And as you make a decision of forgiveness, that you will resolve to forgive and let go of the offense and let go of the pain and sin and hurt, that you will, as you're led into that forgiveness, that there's going to be the feelings that will come down the road, hopefully, as you entrust your life to Christ. You see, the cross is where we let go. The cross is the point. It is the symbol. It is where we come in this moment where we look to Christ. We look to Jesus and His act on the cross. And we realize that we can also look upon that cross every day of our life as Christians. And we can realize that we have been forgiven. That God has let go of our sin, of our injustice, of our deepest, darkest secrets. He has let go. And we can say, because I have been forgiven and I have been redeemed, I am now obligated to do the same to those that are around me. We get an opportunity to let go of the offense, bitterness, injustice, and pain. Because when Jesus was standing on that cross in 1 Peter, he said this, when they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. You and I don't have to retaliate. We can make a choice. We can make the right choice. We can look past people. We can give him a benefit of a doubt. We can look past the current situation, look past the current events and current emotions, and we can have a decision that no matter what happens, we will not let the sin of others and injustice of others and mistreatment of others and pain of others, we will not let those things throw us off the mission that God has for us. And that is to walk in freedom, which is forgiveness. We'll not let any of these things settle in our heart and take root because we want to be free. Jesus came to set us free. And we can walk and live in freedom if we surrender our life to him. We are called to surrender our need of control and revenge. We are called to let go the act of injustice and trust God, his justice, and his mercy that he showed us on that cross. The cross was not the end. It was the beginning of freedom. It was a lesson for us where we as people can reflect on and we could remember. And that's what Jesus said so perfectly well at the Last Supper. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And that's what communion represents, where we remember what he has done for us. And in that moment, hopefully, the scripture tells us if there is bitterness, if there is resentment, if there is anger, if there is pain, if there is unforgiveness, we are called and invited to let go in those moments. Father, they don't know. Forgive them. He doesn't know. She doesn't know. Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And the cross has that same power for us today to set us free, for us to release all the pain to Christ. And the cross will only have power in our life over us if we are able to let go. Let go and let Christ. You see, Christ's forgiveness does not minimize sin. It overcomes it. It's beyond, it's over sin. And we're going to try to do that this morning as we close off our service through communion. We're going to try to lay it down at the cross, remember together what Jesus did for us, and as we partake in the communion together, as elders can go and prepare for the communion, as we take this bread and we take this wine and we hold it in our hands this morning, we can think of the sacrifice that was done for us. We can think of the great injustice that happened so long ago, but was an example for us today, that we can also let go like Christ did, that we can also forgive like Christ did. Jesus came to this moment where he laid it all at the cross. He laid it all at the cross. And you can as well lay it all at the cross today.